Amen and amen. Grab your seat there. Grab your copy of God's Word. And go with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Now, there's a good chance that you were raised on Mother Goose nursery rhymes. I can still picture the big book that I had as a child that my mom and my granny would read to me out of. Mine looked like this book right here. That may look familiar to you, right? That right there is the real Mother Goose, that book says. That's the title of it. First published in 1916. There's no telling how many reprintings it's been through over the years. Anybody else have that book growing up? Read it to your kids? All right, several of you out there, right? I mean, it has like 300 nursery rhymes in it. It had rhymes that you know well, like, hey, diddle, diddle, the cat and the fiddle. The cow jumped over the moon. The little dog laughed to see such sport, and the dish ran away with the spoon. Or how about old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. He called for his pipe, he called for his bowl, and he called for his fiddlers three. And then some of them were just real simple, like, Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Jack jump over the candlestick. I mean, these are all good ones. But it's interesting today as we turn to Luke chapter 15 here, and we're going to be thinking about sheep today. There are several in The Real Mother Goose that dealt with sheep. Like, little boy blue, come blow your horn. The sheep's in the meadow. The cows in the corn. Where's the boy who looks after the sheep? He's under the haystack. What? Fast asleep. I knew y'all knew these. Or, ba-ba black sheep, have you any wool? It's hard to not sing it, right? Ba-ba black sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir, three bags full. One for my master, one for my dame, and one for the little boy who lives down the lane. But the one that deals with sheep that we probably know best goes like this. Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and can't tell where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home and bring their tails behind them. I mean, this is such a well-known nursery rhyme that entire children's shows, entire children's books have been made out of that little four-line poem. But I wonder, when you read or when you hear that, I mean, doesn't something sound a little bit off? Doesn't the advice there, doesn't it sound a little bit strange to you? I mean, little Bo Peep, she lost her sheep, and here's the answer given to fix that. Just leave them alone and hope they make it back. I mean, that's passivity, isn't it? That's do nothing. That's no search. No looking around. Just wait it out and hope for a happy ending with your sheep. Now, how many of you, if you had sheep, would take that advice? I mean, nobody would, right? It's really bad advice. That's not how sheep work. And thankfully, it's the absolute opposite of what our God calls us to do with his sheep. So, as we're thinking all throughout this month about celebrating our 100th by blessing our 20, we see right here in this parable today the heart of God and his action concerning these sheep, his sheep. It's illustrated in the parable of the lost sheep. Now, if you're new with us today, all right, when I refer to our 20, I'm referring to our location, right? It's kind of like old CB talk, okay? They used to say on the CB, watch your 20. And what that meant is, where are you located, all right? So our 20 is right here. It's our local mission field. It's where God has placed us. It's where God has called us to make a difference, right? Temporally, eternally. And one of the ways that we make that difference is by finding lost sheep right here in our community. So let's look at our text today. This is the parable of the lost sheep, Luke 15, verses 1 through 7, to see here what I'm talking about, all right? The Word of God says this. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, that's Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them?" So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. So as we continue here in this series, Bless Our 20, in light of the parable of the lost sheep, here's today's truth that I want everyone to consider. We must all consider this truth. This is today's truth. Many of the Father's lost sheep are in our 20. Many of the Father's lost sheep are in our 20. That's an absolute fact. I mean, all of us, all around us are the Father's sheep. He's fixed his love on them. Yet there are some at this point that are lost, the Bible says. But we don't know exactly who his lost sheep are. And the only way we can figure that out is to find them. In fact, Jesus tells us in John 10 that being one of God's sheep will lead that lost person to actually following Jesus. John 10. 22 through 30 says this. It says, "At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking into the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly.' And Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one.'" It's kind of a mystery here, but did you catch that? Jesus said that these folks that he's talking to didn't believe in him because they were not among his sheep. And so if that's true, which it is, then the opposite is true, or the opposite is true as well, right? Those who will believe in him do so because they are one of God's sheep. They hear, the Bible says, God's voice, Jesus' voice, and follow him. Beloved, that's the only way we know who is God's sheep and who is not. When they hear his voice and follow him. And here's the promise from God. Every single person who will hear his voice and believe on him and follow him will be saved. Now look, many, many people, including most of the people in this room, you were once a lost sheep. But when you heard Jesus' voice, what did you do? You listened, you heard it, you answered, you believed, you followed him. And I believe, based upon the authority of God's word, that there are many, many more of the Father's sheep right here in our 20. The Father, undoubtedly, he has lost sheep right here in our 20. Community. And so the question is, what should we do about it? Well, we see five actions right here in and around this parable that will help us manifest in our life here what God's heart is and to help us bless our 20. First, because many of the Father's lost sheep are here in our 20, we must leave the 99 a while to pursue them. We have to leave the 99 for a while to pursue them, right? They will never be found unless we go after them and look for them. Because we know, y'all, sheep don't find themselves. They don't drift back into the fold. And we're supposed to go after them, but the allure of the 99 often keeps us from it, doesn't it? You see the 99 mentioned here in verse 4? In the parable, the shepherd has 100 sheep. One of them gets lost, and there's a real temptation here to creep up into the shepherd's mind this thought. That's just one sheep. I still have 99. That's more than enough. Plus, going after one, I mean, that's kind of risky. I don't want to take a chance on losing more sheep by going after that one. Plus, I'm really happy with the sheep that I still have. That's the temptation that you and I face every day, just like this shepherd here. Now, churches won't say it that way, but they act like that way all the time. We don't really need to go after lost people because we have enough. You hear my four and no more, right? Just yesterday, our construction committee was touring regional churches with a potential builder, and as we were walking around, we were chatting about the importance of building enough room for future growth. Praise God. Our hope is that whatever number we have here in this congregation, that God continues to grow that, right? I mean, that's the impetus of the kingdom. That's the expectation we should have. But the guy said something like this. He said, you know, that's not the mindset of every church. He said, I've built for some churches in the past who said, we want to update a few things in our building, but we aren't interested in new people. We're happy with who we have right now. And man, most churches would never say that out loud, but their actions say it all the time. Now, think about this. Why is the lure of the 99 so powerful? Well, it's powerful because, I mean, the sheep are already there, right? The shepherd already has sheep. There's already people there, right? They're safe. They're familiar. They're easy, aren't they? They already sing the songs and sit in the pews. And let's be fair, they have real needs as well, right? I mean, the sheep that are already there, I mean, there's a lot to take care of. And so there's plenty there to keep you busy. And so many just stick with the 99, but beloved, you'll never find the lost one that way. The Father has a heart for lost sheep. And so what does the shepherd do in the parable here? Look at verse 4. Verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, doesn't leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost? Now, don't get it twisted. That doesn't mean that we forget the 99. They're always on our heart. They're always on our mind. We're searching and coming back and checking, taking care of what needs to be done. But then we go out searching again. But the 99, they're okay for a while. I mean, they're in open country. They're good to go. But the one that's lost isn't, are they? They're in danger. I mean, maybe they're in a ravine. Or maybe they're being tracked by a pack of wolves. And the only hope they have is to be found. And in order to find them, we must leave the 99 for a while. It's true for the shepherd. It's true for us. We must leave the 99 a while to pursue the Father's lost sheep. That's our first action. Second, though, because many of the Father's lost sheep are in our 20, we must search until we find them. Again, verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, doesn't leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that's lost until he finds it. That's the key right there, isn't it? We have to go searching for him. No lost sheep finds its own way home, right? We go, just like the shepherd in the parable here, we go looking into the hills and the valleys and the crags and the brambles, and we go out and we call out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we scan and we listen for a bleat. And when we don't hear one, what do? We walk a little further and we call out with the gospel again. And we do this over and over until we find lost sheep. And look, the Father undoubtedly has lost sheep in Kidderminster, UK, and Brookhaven, Mississippi, and Santa Maria de Jesus in Guatemala, and Memphis, Tennessee, and New York City, and Gulf Breeze. That's why we've gone to those places, to try to find lost sheep right there. But they're not just in far-off fields. No, they're right here in our 20, right around the corner, right? Just across the lake, right down the road, just next door. So we must search here. And we have to search here first and foremost, because this is our primary mission field, right here. And when do we stop looking? Well, there's only one answer. When they are found. Just like Jesus says here, we don't stop looking until they're found. The word until, it sets the terms for our searching. Not for a while, or until it gets hard, or until there are better things to do. Not until I get tired. No, our search has exactly one stopping point. Just like the shepherds, until that lost sheep is found. Beloved, we give up on no one while they're still alive. Amen? We give up on no one while they are still alive. Even the man or woman farthest from God that you can think of. You think of the biggest scoundrel in the Collinsville region, who is so far away from God that he smells like hell. That man can be saved if we will search and share the good news of Jesus Christ. If he will only turn and trust, he will be saved. We search for those lost sheep until we find them. That's our second action today. Third, because many of the Father's lost sheep are in our 20, we must carry them home once they're found. Carry them home once they're found. I mean, you can kind of imagine a scenario, you know, where the shepherd's out looking and he yells for his sheep. Whee! Or however he does it, right? I don't know how. Sheepy, you know, I don't know, right? Lammy, you know, whatever he does. And all of a sudden he hears a bleat. Bah. And he goes, he's like, there's my sheep. Hey, I'll see you at the house. I'll catch you later, right? No, he's not just trying to locate the sheep, is he? He's trying to unite the sheep with the whole flock. I mean, that's an absurd scenario where the shepherd finds the sheep and then just leaves him to his own way to get back home. Beloved, that's why it says here in the parable. But look at verse 5. And when he has found it, the sheep, he lays it on his shoulders. You've seen the pictures, right? Of the shepherd with the sheep on his shoulders carrying that thing back. Rejoicing. He finds the sheep, retrieves the sheep, grabs the sheep, puts him over his shoulders, and he carries that formerly lost sheep home. You see, a sheep really hadn't been saved until it gets home, right? We have to personally come alongside people, y'all, to get them all the way back home to the security of the flock. That's why The language of our church's mission statement is so important. Guiding generations to pursue Christ at every crossroad. That first word there, guiding, that ing verb there, is key to us. It's about what we're talking about here in the third action here, right? We walk with them. We don't just point them toward home. We show them the way home. We personally guide them. That's why the Great Commission in Matthew 28 doesn't say, go and make converts. And we want to see people saved, right? We want to see them convert. But it doesn't say go and make converts. It says go and make what, church? Disciples. Disciples. That means that we walk with them, right? That we in our strength, just like in this parable here, we got to put them on our shoulders and carry them for a season in all of their weakness back to the fold where they're going to become strong and they're going to become secure. That's how we are to care for the Father's sheep. We carry them home once they're found. That's our third action. Fourth, what do we see here in the text? Well, because many of the Father's lost sheep are in our 20, we must rejoice like crazy when they arrive. Rejoice like crazy when they arrive. But look at what happens with the lost sheep when it finally gets home. Look at verse 6. And when he, that's the shepherd, comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I've found my sheep that was lost. Or he throws a party, doesn't he? He throws a party. He calls all of his buddies, all of his friends, all of his neighbors, and they all rejoice together. Why? This is a big deal, right? A lost sheep has been found. A lost sheep has been saved. And I say to you today, y'all, that's the only right response. Rejoicing, celebrating, a party, that's the only right response when they finally arrive. In fact, Luke 15, that's the theme all throughout Luke 15 here. Jesus isn't just hitting the Pharisees and scribes with this single punch. It's not just the parable of the lost sheep. No, Jesus is actually throwing like a three-punch combo, like Mike Tyson here. About to knock out some religious leaders here, spiritually speaking, in the name of Jesus, of course. He comes with three in a row, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, which we know better as what? The prodigal son, right? That's right. And every parable is essentially making the same point. There should be a great celebration when something lost is found. A sheep, a coin, a son. You see it in every parable. We saw it in verse 6, but look at verse 9. And when she, this is the lady that lost her coin, and when she found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost. And then we see it with the parable of the lost son. Look at verse 22 through 24. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Party. Party, party, right? Rejoice like crazy. That's what we do when lost things are found. That's what we recently did at the Simpson house. When Elizabeth's cat, Peaches, went missing. Now, those of you that know us, you're like, well, you had plenty of cats. And that's true. We don't have 99 cats, but we did have two others, all right? So we were good on the cat department, but nevertheless, we love this cat. I mean, it's a beautiful orange cat. white breast, white face, white feet. I mean, this cat has been with us for like 8, 9 years, something like this. I mean, we love this cat. Particularly Elizabeth loves this cat. But around July 1, this indoor cat came and did what it often does. It came to me and in its cat way said, please let me go outside. And so I gladly opened the door like I do with all the cats. Yes, please go outside. The only problem was is that she didn't come back. And the problem really was that Elizabeth wasn't around. She was on a 2-week thing at like camp and another camp and then visiting family. And so she was gone for like a really long time. And I noticed, of course, the cat wasn't around. And so I began looking but couldn't find her. And 1 week passed. I still looked and I still held out hope. 2 weeks passed. Still looking, no Peaches, still thinking, I mean, Peaches is going to come home. I mean, she'll be back. Well, Elizabeth finally got home, and I broke the news to her. I mean, she took it hard because, again, she loves that cat. But here's what we all said. We said, look, Peaches is going to come home, right? We were holding out hope against hope. 3 weeks passed. 4 weeks passed. But on July 31, at about 11:30 p.m., I was checking the doors in our house before I went to bed. And when I went to the back door to make sure it was locked, there at the back door, looking through the glass at me, was an orange cat with a white face and a white chest. I mean, it was Peaches, and she did her cat thing and said, let me in. And I gladly let her in. And man, right there, just me and God, man, we had a party right there. And in the morning, everybody else was already in bed. In the morning, I woke Elizabeth up as early as I could, and we had a little party right there, and then we told everybody in the house, and some people were more excited than others, but we still all kind of rejoiced, right? And then we started calling people and texting people and sending pictures to share the good news. That's what you do when lost things are found. And I want to say to you this morning, church, if we will do that for a cat, then that should certainly happen when a lost person arrives home. Amen? Right? I mean, so much greater, right? What better news than that, right? A person that was lost is now found. A person who was dead is now alive. A person who was in peril is now saved. A person that was heading to hell is now heading to heaven. Beloved, there's a reason to celebrate like crazy. And I tell you, church, we don't celebrate enough. I appreciate on Sunday mornings when we baptize, and I hated not baptizing somebody this morning. You know, I mean, we've been on a great streak and stretch here. But the truth of the matter is, I love that, but we don't celebrate enough. And here's the cool thing. If you say, well, we don't get to celebrate that enough, or maybe you say, we just don't celebrate it enough, period, but I would love to celebrate that more. Here's the truth. If we'll go share the gospel, somebody gonna get saved. Amen? Look, I've noticed over the years, I've been in vocational ministry now for like 24, 25, 26, depending on where you think the starting date is, right? You know, when you look at it, a quarter century I've been in vocational ministry. And here's what I've found. The more you share the gospel, the more people get saved. So if you like to party more, if you want to party more, go share the gospel more. Go search for lost sheep more. They are right here in our 20. And then rejoice like crazy when that lost sheep arrives home, right? That's our fourth action, but here's the fifth and final one I want to point out to you here, share with you from our text this morning. Because many of the Father's lost sheep are in our 20, we must expect some religious people to get aggravated. We got to expect religious people to get aggravated. Some of them anyway, right? It happened here in Luke 15. I mean, I'm not saying all religious people because, I mean, Jesus was a religious person too, right? In a sense, right? He wasn't aggravated. And so some religious people get aggravated. Look at Luke 15, verse 1 and 2. I mean, this is why Jesus was telling the whole parable here. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them?" I mean, imagine that, right? Religious people turning up their noses at lost people. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever done that? Every one of us are tempted to do that. Well, they were doing it here. People who were far from God, tax collectors and sinners. I mean, tax collectors, like, you got to understand, in Bible days, like, that was the worst of the worst in the eyes of the Jewish people. They're traitors, they're sinners, they're greedy, they're thieves, they're all of these things. Tax collectors and sinners were coming, and it aggravated these cranks. Now, why is that? Well, lost people are rough around the edges. Amen? Lost people are rough around the edges. They drink and chew and date girls that do too, right? I mean, you know, they don't dress the way we dress. They use language that we don't. They smell different. They have opinions that are different from us that we don't like. They're kind of like this sheep right here. Check out this sheep on the screen, right? I mean, that's kind of like a lost person. This is the kind of sheep we're talking about here. This sheep was found after being lost in Australia for about 6 years. I think I've talked about this sheep before. All right, he was found in 2021. They named him Barack. All right. But he was an absolute mess. I mean, just look at him. 80 pounds of wool on him. Could barely see. Dirty. Can you imagine the smell that came from that dude? Scary to look at, right? If you ran across that in the wilderness, oh my gosh. Malnourished, could barely walk. And can you imagine how the other sheep felt when they had been all primped and proper and taken care of and had been shorn and all that stuff, when this monster came walking in amongst them? I mean, they undoubtedly went the other direction. They wanted nothing to do with him. And that's how you and I can look at lost people sometimes. We treat them like they have the plague. But the truth of the matter is, you were just lost. You were just as lost as they were. Amen? You were lost just like they were. Your circumstances may have been a little different, but you were a mess just like them. And God's grace and mercy, it came and cleaned you up. And he's going to do the same for them. You can expect some religious people to get aggravated because their little nice neat bubble, it's getting a little bit soiled. But the question is, when it comes to sinners coming to God, who will you emulate? Will you act like the Pharisees and the scribes? Or will you emulate heaven? Which one will it be? They got aggravated. One group got aggravated. But look at how Jesus says in Luke 15:7 that heaven responds. "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And then he reiterates it in the next parable. Look at verse 10. "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Beloved, heaven is rejoicing like crazy while the cranks and the sour lemon-faced religious people are upset. Which one will you be like? Expect some religious folks to get aggravated, but I pray that that never includes you. that that never includes us, that we are always ready and open and welcoming and warm to those who are far from God, who are coming close to God, being drawn by the Holy Spirit to God. Praise God that others of the Father's lost sheep have been found just like you were. So, many of the Father's lost sheep are in our 20. Leave the 99 a while to pursue them. Search for them until you find them. Carry them home until they're arrived, until they're found. Once they're found, rejoice like crazy when they arrive. And then finally, like I said just a moment ago, expect some religious people to get aggravated. I started the message today with a simple little nursery rhyme about a shepherdess. Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and can't tell where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home and bring their tails behind them. That's all of that poem we know. But did you know there's more to that poem? In the Real Mother Goose book, there are actually 5 more verses. But let me close today with just the second and the third. It says this: Little Bo Peep fell fast asleep and dreamt she heard them bleating. But when she awoke, she found it a joke, for still they all were fleeting. Then up she took her little crook, determined for to find them. She found them indeed, and it made her heart bleed, for they'd left all their tails behind them. Now, it turns out, Little Bo Peep didn't sit back in passivity, did she? No, she couldn't stand the thought of one of her little sheep being lost. And so she grabbed her shepherd's crook. She set out, determined to find them. And I say to you, beloved, that should be us as well, because that's the Father's heart. Your heart should resonate with the Father's. He wants all his sheep to be found and to come home. And you and I, we get the joy of being a part of that. And yeah, you know what? We're going to find some of his sheep injured, right, with their tails having been bitten off by wolves. But nevertheless, we'll find them and help see them saved and bring them home. And then, well, we'll celebrate like crazy. Here's my final prayer today. May every Sunday be a celebration because we faithfully searched and found another lost sheep in our 20.